All right, so we are going to be looking at NTI Revelation chapter 14, and that is on page 478. It is your true desire that will lead you home, just as it is true desire that has led you to this point in your willingness, understanding, and acceptance. I have already told you that the 144,000 represents the lessons you have learned. It is acceptance of these lessons as truth that shields you from any perceived attack, because it is the acceptance of these lessons that teaches perceived attack is unreal. And those lessons, we're back, I believe it was NTI Revelation chapter 7, but let me double check that. Yeah, NTI Revelation chapter 7, there are 12 lessons there. The first one was, you are innocent. The second one, you are the Son of God, and everything you experience is a gift to yourself. The third one, you choose the purpose for everything you see, and the purpose you choose is the one that is given to it, etc., right? Pages 470 and 471. So what it's saying here is the acceptance of these lessons teaches us that attack is unreal. And sentence 4 says, hold to these lessons and your true desire as you step forward within the recesses of the mind. Be grateful because you are letting go of all that is false, so only the reflection of truth shall be known. So again, one thing that we're seeing over and over as we're studying NTI Revelation is that NTI Revelation is about letting go of the ego thought system completely. Just letting go of the ego thought system in every way. And some of the big chunks of the ego thought system that's focused on unworthiness, was focused on the belief that you are unworthy, or guilt, is focused on fear, is focused on, we were taught to choose trust instead of fear. Last week, the whole judgment, control issue. Now, these are major chunks of the ego thought system, and you can see how if you let go of every thought of unworthiness, whether it's saying you or someone else is unworthy, right? If you let go of every thought of unworthiness, every judgment, every thought of guilt, every fear, I mean, what's going to be left of the ego thought system? Nothing, right? I mean, it's going to be gone because that is the ego thought system. So this is what NTI is encouraging us to do, especially in Revelation. And it's saying what's going to help us do that are, again, those lessons in NTI Revelation chapter 7. So for the reader, when you get to 14, I would say that's a really good time to go back and read 7 again, right? I mean, I think that's what it's hinting. Go back. You know, you might even want to copy them down, hang them on your refrigerator, hang them on your bathroom window, keep them in your car glove box, keep them in your pocket, and just review the heck out of them. Because it's saying your true desire plus the living of these 12 lessons is going to help you let go of the entire ego thought system.
Yeah,
that was a review of everything we've learned in NTI. Exactly. You know, like in the last couple of days, I've had a couple of people ask what appear to be difficult questions if you don't know the simplicity of this. And, you know, the answer is these 12 lessons. This is a gift for you to help you let go of everything in you that is keeping you away from spiritual freedom. And that's what these 12 lessons are saying. Everything. You know, people who say, you know, I had an accident and now I'm paralyzed and, oh, what about this? The same. This is for you to let go of everything in you that is ego and keeping you away from spiritual freedom. My children are drug addicts and I don't know what to do. What should I... The same. You see, the answer is always the same.
Yeah. It's important to remember that the bad stuff's going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
Where NTI or no NTI. You know, you're going to stand up on that vision of mine, so, or your husband, or accidents and things like that. So,
Yeah, there
does
was.
That make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. In fact, Adyashanti says there's two things that are certain in life, and people are like, death and taxes. But actually, that's not what Adyashanti says. Adyashanti says the two things that are certain in life are tragedy and death. Tragedy and death are going to happen to everyone. Tragedy and death. So the question is, how are you going to perceive or use or experience tragedy and death? If you know it's going to happen, it's going to happen to everyone, right, at some point. How are you going to perceive it or use it? And you have two choices. One is to reinforce the ego thought system or to let go of the ego thought system. Those are your two choices. And again, you know, I was talking to this woman whose husband is having these, you know, whatever he's doing. I don't know what he's doing. You know, she thinks he's with women, but I don't know if that's true or not. It doesn't matter. She's having these experiences. I told her, this doesn't mean you have to stay in the marriage. You know, people get confused about that too. They think, oh, I have to stay in this marriage. I said, you don't have to stay in the marriage. I said, but what I would recommend is that you get to clarity first. Make the decision from a point of clarity rather than from the point of confusion, from the point of jealousy, from the point of hatred, from the point of fear, right? You know, so use it to let go of everything that's in you. And when you do, there may be this clarity, like, what am I doing here? Another question that somebody asked me recently was about acceptance. They said, you know, what happens if, you know, you're a woman in a relationship with a husband who's beating you? Do you just accept it? And, you know, I think people misunderstand what acceptance is. Acceptance is, you know, and again, I have to kind of make up a story here, so this isn't a rule, this is a made-up story. But acceptance might look like, I accept that when he gets angry and beats me, or he gets drunk and beats me, I accept that it doesn't appear to be changing right now. I accept that the ball is in my court. I accept I need to leave. And so you can do all of that with clarity, right? You don't need judgment, guilt, fear. You don't need what the ego thought system says you need in order to have that clarity. And again, this is what people think. People think, if you're accepting it, you know, you have to judge it in order to get free. You have to judge him in order to get free. You have to be afraid enough to leave. That's not true. You don't need any of that stuff. You can look at a situation and with absolute clarity, you can have complete compassion, but realize he's not changing now. I can't make him change, right? The ball's in my court. I need to leave. I need to take this step now. So you don't need the ego thought system in order to make decisions in this world. But these 12 lessons, that's what you need. If you have the perspective of the 12 lessons in Revelation chapter 7, they're going to help you make these difficult decisions about your marriage, your job, your children, your health. They're going to tell you how to perceive every tragedy or every problem that you encounter. And again, the nice thing about them is it's the same answer for every problem. But one thing that people need to do, we all need to do this, is we need to decide what we truly want, which is the true desire part of this, right? It says, hold to these lessons and your true desire as you step forward within the recesses of the mind. We need to know what we want. I can't, like, be on the spiritual path trying to practice these 12 lessons and trying to get my marriage back the way I want it to. You know, remember Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You have to decide what you're going to serve. Is what's most important to me my marriage? Well, then if so, do what you think you need to do to get your marriage fixed. See if that works for you, right? If is what you want spirituality, then do everything you need to do to let go of the ego thought system in you. Now, sometimes when you do that, the marriage works out too. But the point is, where is your heart? Where is your focus? Are you willing to let the marriage go if that's how this unfolds? I mean, that's what you have to be willing to do. You have to be willing to let the marriage go, let the job go, let the children go. You know, what did Jesus say in the Bible about for everyone who leaves their parents, leaves their sons and daughters, leaves their field for me, will get 10 times that in return. This is what he's talking about. You know, we have to make a decision. I want spirituality. I want truth more than anything. And if everything else falls away because of my search for truth, so be it. Now, that doesn't mean it will fall away. But you have to be that dedicated. You have to be willing. I have to be willing to let Ron leave me. I have to be willing to let Jasmine leave me. I have to be willing to lose my home. And I have to trust God enough, trust truth enough, to know that if these things do fall away, that was in the best interest of everyone. Right? And now let's revisit last week's lesson. Think about how much you want to control because you think that's where good comes from. You know, you want to control and make the marriage work. Control and make the children be good. Control the perceptions and keep the job. Right? I mean, see? See? And you see how they're exact opposites. You can't control and do the letting go that's required in order to awaken also. You just can't. They're two different things. So again, what this is saying is study those 12 lessons in Revelation chapter 7. Get to know those 12 lessons so well that they're automatic for you. That the moment tragedy strikes, you're in the mode of, how is this going to help me awaken? What am I seeing in myself I need to let go of? What's in the way of me being clear right now? Right? Or you're just naturally in that space, which is where you'll eventually get. But I mean, know those 12 lessons so well that they are your new Bible. That's what you live by. And let everything else fall as it does. Another story that David Hofmeister shared with me along these same lines a long time ago was, he called it 52 card pickup. He's, you know, imagine your life as a deck of cards. Here's your parents, your children, your spouse or partner, your pets, your job, your money, your house. Just everything is in the 52 cards. He says you have to be willing to throw all 52 cards down on the ground and then let God pick up the ones that he wants to and give them back to you. Right? You have to throw them all down. Yeah. So again, the beginning of Revelation chapter 14. It is your true desire that will lead you home, just as it is true desire that has led you to this point in your willingness, understanding, and acceptance. I have already told you that the 144,000 represents the lessons you have learned. It is acceptance of these lessons as truth that shields you from any perceived attack, because it is the acceptance of these lessons that teaches perceived attack is unreal. Hold to these lessons and your true desire as you step forward within the recesses of the mind. Be grateful, because you are letting go of all that is false, so only the reflection of truth shall be known. All right, verses 6 to 7. The hour of God's judgment is the hour of your release. For this is the hour when, filled with the faith in God that comes from the knowledge of truth within, you shall say no to all that is false. This is the hour of putting aside all that is not real, so only the reflection of realness can be experienced within the mind. So what this is saying is God's judgment is actually your judgment to say no to every false idea. No. I'm not going to believe that anymore. It reminds me of the movie Revolver, which I know I've talked to you all about before, in the elevator. You know, Jake Green, he has this voice that's telling him, you know, be afraid, be very, very afraid. He's always been claustrophobic, be very, very afraid. And he's like, I see you. And basically he says no to that voice. I'm not going to believe you anymore. I'm not going to believe I need to be afraid in an elevator. I'm not going to believe I need to protect myself. I'm done with you. You know? No. And at some point we get ready to do that. No. I'm not going to believe anything untrue ever again. I'm not going to believe any thought of fear, any thought of guilt, any thought of unworthiness, any judgment, I'm done with you. And that's God's judgment. Because that's when the right mind has become so strong in you that that decision of no is your final judgment, right? No. I pronounce judgment on you, ego. I don't want you. That's my final judgment. And that, of course, is the day of your release. You're free then when you're done with it. Verse 8 says, Babylon the Great represents differences. And so the second angel sang in joy, fallen, fallen, are all differences which confused the mind and made it blind. Let me just read from the Bible just so we get clarity about what this is talking about. Revelation 14, sentence 8 says, A second angel followed and said, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adultery. And so this is saying Babylon the Great represents differences. So really the angel is so happy that the idea of differences has fallen, because the idea of differences is what made the mind blind or made the mind mad. And again, you know, we've talked about over and over and over again how all there is God, right? All there is self. And that everything from, you know, each of these bodies in this room to this computer, right, to the oxygen that we breathe, it's actually all God. And when we see everything as God, if we accept everything as God, we respond to it, we react with it, we live within it much differently than if we see all these differences. You know, I'm Regina, and I like this and this and this, and I want things this way, and you're my obstacle because you're doing it differently. You know, that's the maddening. That's the blindness. So the idea of differences is also something that needs to be let go. And for me, I mean, you know, everybody finds their own way of letting go of the idea of differences. But for me, letting go of differences has a lot to do with that practice, again, of being aware of awareness. Because as I become aware of awareness within me, something simultaneously makes me aware that the awareness here is the same as the awareness there. And I become aware of the awareness as being the same, and the mind is the apparent differences. But then the mind I see isn't our truth. So then I can disregard that, right? So we've talked about, again, major parts of the ego thought system that we need to be willing to let go. We need to be willing to let go of judgment, guilt, unworthiness, fear, control, differences, right? Verses 9 to 12, this talks about the third angel. Let me read the third angel from the Bible before I read that. A third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image, and remember the beast was judgment or guilt, depending on which beast he's talking about here. If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on the forehead or the hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There is no rest, day or night, for those who worship the beast and his image, or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. This calls for patient endurance on the part of the saints, who obey God's commandments and remain faithful to Jesus. Okay, here's what NTI is saying about that. The third angel only emphasizes choice. To continue to worship judgment is to continue to experience the effects of judgment. This point is made to help you see clearly your desire to choose not to judge anymore. So the interpretation of that, you know, the Bible makes it sound like, you know, you have this mark of the beast on you and God is going to torment you. Right? But we have been taught through NTI that the beast represents judgment And the mark of the beast represents really believing that we need judgment and guilt in order to make good. That's the mark of the beast, having that belief. So, if you continue to have that belief that you need judgment and you need guilt and you need control in order to make good, you're going to continue to suffer, is what this is saying. It's not that God is punishing you. Just that choice itself results in suffering. The only way to be free is to be willing to let go of that thought system within yourself, to let go of the ideas that we need judgment, guilt, and control to make good. You have to let go of that within yourself. And you have the choice. I mean, you can do it. You know, read Michael Singer's book, The Surrender Experiment, and you'll see how he chose to do it. You can do it. The next time you feel that rising in you, I want to control this, right? Just don't. Remember your true desire. Remember what you want most of all. And just don't. That's what this is saying. And that's your path of freedom. Verse 13. Blessed are the ones who choose to lay down judgment and die the judge's death. For to die the judge's death is to walk away from judgment. To walk away from judgment is to walk the way of life. Rest the mind, become the empty shell. Let all that was you go, so all that you are may be known. So die the judge's death, or let the judger in you die would be another way of wording that. You know, just choose not to believe judgment. And again, another point that was made last week that was really important when we were in Revelation 13 is that we actually worship our judgments. And one way you can worship your judgment, one way you can notice how much you worship your judgment is by noticing how much you believe you're right and someone else is wrong. And we can get very extreme in that. You know, like, I'm right and Isis is wrong. That's obvious, right? I'm worshiping my judgment. You see? You? And this is asking us to let go of worshiping our judgment. And in fact, let go of it so much that we die the judge's death. We cease to be the judge, or we cease to be the judger. Become the empty shell, right? Just completely empty. Allow everything to be as it is in a very deep way without your judgment. Blessed are the ones who choose to lay down judgment and die the judge's death. For to die the judge's death is to walk away from judgment. To walk away from judgment is to walk the way of life. Rest the mind, become the empty shell, let all that was you go, so all that you are may be known. When judgment has been let go, you are ready to step forward into the remaining recesses of the mind. This is the time of harvest. So this is the time when the wheat is separated from the chaff, the true from the false. Now, what's interesting about this, some people might think when you let go of judgment, you're done. But actually, that's not really true, because there's still some beliefs there. And you have to be willing to see those beliefs without judgment and let them go. Right? So when the judger is dead, then you could say, then you really get going somewhere. In fact, that's what Peace Pilgrim said. She talked about how for her it was easy pretty early on the spiritual path not to judge others. You know, she knew that they didn't know, they were just believing their thoughts, and she could accept that. But she always thought she should know better. And so when she would, you know, give in to ego in some way, she was very, very hard on herself. And then one day, you know, she realized that that was a mistake, that she needed to stop judging herself as well. And she says in her very cute way, then I really started to get somewhere. So when she died the judge's death, then she was able to just let go, let go, let go. Because it's our self-judgment that really blocks that letting go process. Because when you're judging yourself for your beliefs, you're actually afraid to see them. Therefore, you unconsciously deny them. How can you let them go? But when you cease to judge yourself for your beliefs or for your mistakes or whatever you want to call them, then you can look at them And so you can let them go. So letting go of judgment allows you to really start making progress very, very quickly in the letting go process. I'm just going to pause for a moment because it might be hard for the recording while there's a helicopter landing outside. All right, so I'm going to read 14 to 16 again. When judgment has been let go, you are ready to step forward into the remaining recesses of the mind. This is the time of harvest. So this is the time when the wheat is separated from the chaff, the true from the false. Do not make the mistake of seeing the harvest as an event in your future. For always the harvest is now. There is no time and there is no future. To wait on time is to delay the harvest, which is now. Always it is now. So always it is time to let go of judgment and look at the darkness hiding in the recesses of the mind. Now, of course, NTI is explaining things in somewhat of a linear way because that's just, I mean, you can't write in a blog, right? You have to write. But this is saying, even though we're talking about dying the judge's death here, don't sit there and think, okay, so someday I'm going to die the judge's death, and then I will begin to let go of stuff in the mind. Do that right now. Do it over and over and over again. Die the judge's death 1,000 times a day. Every time you notice judgment come up, die that judge's death again. And then look at what you need to look at and let it go. Keep doing it. There is no future. There's only now. So embrace now to do everything that we're being asked to do. I think it was Joe Goldsmith who used to talk about dying 1,000 times a day. I'm sure he's probably not the only one. So we don't need to wait until someday when the judge dies. We just keep dying the judge's death over and over and over again. Verses 17 to 20. You fear the harvest because you fear it is your death. This fear only comes from a judgment you have heaped upon yourself. Remember, there is no mind that judges except for the mind that is yours. When you fear death, realize the judge has been allowed to be resurrected. Keep back within the mind, so step back within the mind and lay the judge to rest. Then continue the harvest in joy and without fear. I'm going to have to take either credit or blame for these paragraphs because I really feel this was speaking specifically to me. However, you know, it doesn't mean it doesn't apply to you too. But what this was saying to me is that at this point, I was really afraid, again, to look in the mind. What if I find out that I hate someone? You're not supposed to hate someone. That means I'm bad. You see, I was afraid to look. What if I discover that I'm not as honest as I think I am, that I'm always trying to control other people's perceptions? Oh no, that means I'm bad. So in other words, my fear of looking came from judgment, right? And so that's what this is saying. Whenever you notice that you fear looking, realize the judge is back. And then die the judge's death again. Let go of judgment. Ah, look at this. I'm only judging myself. I don't need to judge myself. It's not helpful to judge myself. I choose to let go of self-judgment and see because I want to awaken. I don't want my awakening to be blocked by judgment. So whenever you're afraid to look at your own thinking, right, honestly, whenever you're afraid to look at your own thinking honestly, it's because you are already judging yourself. So let go of the judgment and then look. And again, this is saying there's no other mind that judges you. Now, I've had people argue with me about this, and I understand their argument. You know, like they'll say, well, that's not true. My husband judges me all of the time. My husband tells me every day how unworthy I am. You know, it's not true that there's no one other than me. But this is telling the truth. The reason your husband's judgment hurts you is because you are agreeing with it. You already believe it yourself. It's not his words, you are unworthy, that's hurting you. It's your agreement with those words. And when you let go of the self-judgment within you and somebody else says something like that to you, You see it completely differently. You see that they're upset about something. You don't see it as a truth about you. So there is no one judging you but you, regardless of what comes out of somebody else's mouth. You focus on letting go of your self-judgment. Everything else will take care of itself. And that's the end of NCI Revelation chapter 14. So it's quite, it's really like a big pep talk. Come on, let's do this work, is really what it's saying. Come on, let's do it. So, you know, we always look for an assignment, so there's a few assignments we could go for. One assignment could be to spend the week, once again, we already did this once, we could spend another week reading the 12 lessons from NCI Revelation chapter 7 every day. Or we could spend the week trying to be very aware of whenever we are, we could say just judging ourselves to make it simple, or we could say judgment in general and do our best to let go of judgment. So what assignment do you guys want for the week? What feels most helpful?
Both.
Let's do it all. Well, he was asking us to do it all, I guess, in this chapter, so... He said he was asking us to do it all in this chapter, so we could try and do it all. We could read Revelation chapter 7, the 12 lessons every day, maybe early in the morning, and then throughout the day, watch our judging mind and let go of judgment at every opportunity, you know, as much as we can. Does that sound good? Okay. Then I will stop the recorder and we'll have a moment of silence.